Five, four, three, two, one.
What's the situation, Captain?
This is Situation Fluxus, a weekly one-hour program focused on jazz and improvised music, news, radio, conversations, and more. Thank you for tuning in to Situation Fluxus on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears in upstate New York. I'm your host, Cheryl Kay. Let us dig into the headlines. Pianist and composer Sutoko Fuji, who recently recorded her 100th CD as a leader, will tour Europe with three different bands: Kaze with Ikui Mori, Tokyo Trio, and a duo with bassist Joe Fonda. Beginning tonight through Monday, October 31st, Fuji and Kaze will be in Sweden, Italy, and France. Mori, a drummer and electronic musician, recently was named a 2022 MacArthur Fellow. For more information, sutokofuji.com. Pianist Armin Danilian, a resident of Columbia County of New York State, performs solo on Sunday evenings, 6:30 p.m. at Isan Thai Star Restaurant in Hudson, New York. For more information, armindanilian.com. Saxophonist Dennis Mitcheltree is on tour, supporting his new release, Golden Rule. He performs tonight at Bar Centro in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 7 p.m. CST. For more information, DennisMitcheltree.com. Pianist Cameron Graves performs during SF Jazz's Piano Week inside of the Joe Henderson Lab in San Francisco, California, tomorrow night, Friday, October 28, 8:30 p.m. PST. For more information, sfjazz.org. At Birdland in New York City, inside of Birdland Theater tonight, Thursday, October 27th, vocalist Lizzie Thomas and her quartet, 8:30 p.m. And inside of Birdland Jazz Club, now through Saturday, October 29th, bassist Ron Carter and pianist Bill Charlock. And on Sunday, October 30th, celebrating the Slide Hampton Octet, 5:30 p.m. For more information, birdlandjazz.com. Pianist Jason Yeager celebrates his upcoming November release, Unstuck in Time, the Kurt Vonnegut Suite, during his tour. He performs in Framingham, Massachusetts tomorrow night, Friday, October 28th, and in Portland, Maine on Saturday night, October 29th. For more information, jasonyeager.com. On Saturday, October 29th, 1:30 p.m., the Berklee Institute of Jazz and Gender Justice and the Mass Art Art Museum collaborate to premiere new work by student composers at the Mass Art Art Museum in Boston, Massachusetts. Commissioned by the museum, pieces pay tribute to 18th century enslaved woman Elizabeth Mumbet Freeman and are inspired by Portuguese artist Joana Vasconcelos' installation Valkyrie Mumbet. For more information, college.berklee.edu/jazz-gender-justice. Bob Chop Records in Rochester, New York celebrates 40 years in business with special live performances. On Saturday, October 29th, 8 p.m., drummer Lou Grassi and bassist Ken Filiano. For more information, bobshop.com/events. Bassist Trevor Dunn and his group Trio Convulsant have an album release concert tomorrow night at 8 p.m. at National Sawdust in Brooklyn, New York. His new Pyroclastic Records release is titled Seances. For more information, trevordunn.net. Drummer Jack DeJeanette, P. pianist Jason Moran and bassist Dave Holland perform at the Woodstock Playhouse on Saturday, October 29th in Woodstock, New York. For more information, woodstockplayhouse.org. And a note about this performance, at this time, this performance is sold out, but they do have a waiting list. Also this Saturday night, at the Falcon in Marlborough, New York, pianist Ted Kujan and his quintet open for the Ed Palmero Big Band, 7 p.m. For more information, liveatthefalcon.com. Pianist and composer Faulkner Evans previews his upcoming album, Through the Lens, on Monday, October 31st, for two sets at Mesro in New York City. The release charts Evans' personal evolution through a set of improvised music. For more information, smallslive.com. Next Tuesday, trumpeter Michael Sarian's Living at the End of the World tour continues in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, at Rex at the Royal. For more information, michaelsarian.com. Also next Tuesday, November 1st, Trombone Shorty and New Orleans Avenue perform inside Heart Theater at The Egg in Albany, New York. For more information, theegg.org. The South Jersey Jazz Society presents A Celebration of Life and Legacy of jazz guitarist Pat Martino at this year's Jazz at the Point Festival, which runs from November 3rd through 6th at Gateway Playhouse and Gregory's Restaurant in Summers Point, New Jersey. Quote, the planned celebration of life and legacy comes nearly a year to the day Pat passed away on November 1st. Performers include guitarists Peter Bernstein, Cheryl Bailey, Mark Whitfield, Russell Malone, and Dave Stryker. For more information, southjerseyjazz.org. And now for new and upcoming releases. Composer Becca Sims' Bestiaries on Centra Discs. Pianist Eddie Palmieri presents Sonido Solar on Truth Revolution Recording Collective. Guitarist Simon Belelti's Pee-wee on JoJo. And vocalist Sarah Gazarek's self-released EP Vanity. All news items have been gathered from various media sources. For the latest updates, contact the source, venue, or business. Remember, I'm just the messenger. My guest is Zion Dyson, a senior at the New England Conservatory of Music in Boston, Massachusetts. Zion will be graduating in 2023 with a BM in Jazz Vocal Performance with a concentration in music education. So Zion, I want to thank you so much for joining me here on Situation Fluxus.
Thank you. Yes, I'm so happy to be here. And I just cannot wait to talk to you about music.
So this is your last year at the New England Conservatory of Music in Boston, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
What's your course load like this semester?
It's pretty interesting. I have an interesting balance of work and school that I've kind of been doing right now. The course load is, you know, it's heavy. One of my heaviest classes right now is vocal pedagogy, which is a master's course that I elected to take. And it's just to learn a lot more about voice and how it functions, and also especially to be a better voice teacher, which is really my passion, is teaching. And I am doing quite a lot of teaching activities right now, some different jobs here and there, working with the NEC prep, managing the jazz orchestra. I'm working with some students at NEC who do not take voice, and I'm giving them voice lessons. And also I'm going to be working with Boston City Singers a little later this year and giving voice lessons to some young people here in the area as well. So teaching and school, I love all the academic stuff. It's so great for me. I love it.
You sent me two vocal compositions. Mm-hmm. One is Dead or Alive with lyrics by Amy Dyson, who sounds like a very close friend of yours.
Yes, she's my mother.
And the other one is Losing Him.
Mm-hmm.
Besides being taught the technical aspects of composition, like notation, and of course, they now have software that does that, what have you been taught about the theoretical aspects on writing lyrics?
Well, Dominique Eade, who's my vocal teacher at NEC, an incredible, incredible vocalist. She is so deep when it comes to thinking about language. Actually, before I even got to NEC, I took a lesson with her, and just the depth that we went into one standard every time we say goodbye, we talked about the lyrics of that standard and just the way that the lyrics contoured with the melody, and thinking about the syntax and the emphasis, just thinking a lot more about kind of the theory behind setting lyrics to music, putting lyrics onto a pre-written composition, or writing a composition for a set of lyrics, or writing lyrics for your own composition. So it's a lot of it is thinking a lot about rhythm, a lot about the way that words rest naturally in speech, while trying to kind of implement that onto music.
Would you explain the content of these two pieces, the meaning behind them?
Yes. So Losing Him is a song that I believe can have a lot of different interpretations. And for me, the way it kind of came was that I was actually leaving my boyfriend to go back home to San Diego. And I was just so sad. We've lived together for a few years now, and we were together through the whole pandemic. So it was like the longest time we'd been away from each other. So I was talking a lot about kind of that aspect, and also mental health as well. I've struggled a bit with like anxiety and some other mental health issues. So I really wanted to kind of capture sort of the uncertainty of leaving someone who is such a rock and a stability in my life, and going to a place where it's a little less sure in that respect. And then in terms of Dead or Alive, so my mom wrote a lot of poetry in her 20s, back in like the 90s. And she recently found a bunch of notebooks of all of her poems, and she sent them to me. And I just thought her words were beautiful, and also dealt with kind of these similar themes of mental health, and themes that I really think should be brought up and spread awareness about. And so I just thought these lyrics were so haunting and gorgeous. I improvised using the poem as kind of just like a structure for improvisation with an ensemble for a bit. And I just thought it was so fun to sing these emotive lyrics. And then I sat down and I wanted to set them to music, and I found some melodies that I really liked. So those are kind of the stories behind those two songs.
You sent me the lead sheet for Losing Him. I didn't know how to read it.
Oh, do you have the PDFs on the Google Drive there?
Once we realized what we were both looking at, Zion gave her take on composition and Western notation.
Yeah, well, I'm fascinated with that approach as well. I feel like, I mean, this is a whole nother conversation, but I feel like Western notation has so many limitations, and it's come from such a biased perspective. And people think of it as like factual, but really, obviously, there's music from all over the world that has its own type of theories. And it's just, yeah, there's a lot of limitations in Western theory, and I'm so curious about getting out of that box. But for me right now, and my purposes as a more Western trained musician, it definitely is a bit easier for me to put my ideas down in that style of notation right now.
Pop artist sensation Taylor Swift is known for writing most of her own material. In fact, as we speak on this Friday, she just released her new album, Midnights. Do you see yourself composing music with lyrics for yourself or for others?
That is such an interesting question and something that I think about so often. It's an interesting balance. I think for me personally, again, kind of back to that idea of mental health awareness, I find composing to be such a therapeutic act. I'll sit down at the piano and I'll improvise lyrics and I'll, you know, just kind of let my heart, you know, out, just improvising or with composition. And so that's definitely one aspect of it. But I think that coming from such a vulnerable place can let other people know that they have allies and there are other people out there who have experienced, you know, similar or different, you know, pain with mental health. So I think that, of course, it's therapeutic for me. And I think that it is certainly for myself to write because I love it. But I hope that putting my compositions out into the world will make a difference and will help other people feel heard and loved.
Let's go back to how we began this conversation. You're talking about the wonderful and enriching experiences that you're having right now teaching.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be graduating with a Bachelor of Music in Vocal Performance with a concentration in music education next year. Whether you work in a school system or teach privately or both, what kind of students do you hope to attract to what you want to teach?
Well, I absolutely love creativity through music. I love improvisation, composition. I think that art should be used to create something new, in my opinion. And I would love to teach singers to interpret melodies, to compose melodies with lyrics, to improvise, as well as instrumentalists. I believe that there's so much that can be learned kind of by looking at music through the vocal perspective, through the lens of ears and just pure like emotion of what is inside of you. I don't know. So I really, really would love to teach composition and also music theory. I find so much inspiration by studying music theory and harmony and all of these other elements, analyzing pieces and such. So I would just love to, you know, create a generation of musicians who are very aware of music theory, how to expand what is known about music theory and to do interesting things that break the rules and to know when to break the rules and to know when to, you know, maybe not break the rules if you want, you know. So that's kind of a big thing for me is really like vocalists should know theory. Vocalists should be able to compose. And so I think that's a big thing for me.
Speaking of inspiration, give me two composers that inspire you, two very different composers.
I really love drawing from the past and the present in my composition. So kind of looking into the past, I love the works of, you know, Billy Strayhorn and Duke Ellington and like a lot of the stuff that they do kind of collaboratively. I think just these lush harmonies and just... I don't even know how to explain it sometimes, but it's just so powerful to me. The way that Billy Strayhorn arranges and composes in ways that kind of move from the simple to the very complicated and ebb and flow in that such a way. And then speaking more towards the more current musicians, I would say probably my favorite band is Hiatus Coyote, if you've heard of them. They're from New Zealand, I believe. Naipaum is their vocalist. They're just incredible. And the way it's kind of a neo soul type of thing, like lots of R&B influence, very interesting harmonies. And the lyrics are also quite interesting. And I would say that they're more sonically driven than, I guess, like driven by meaning. So in that sense, it's more about the sound of the word and kind of like the way that it floats in the air more than the actual meanings of the words. And I think that that's very, very inspiring.
Mm. Wow. Well, Zion, as we come to the end of this interview, I'm going to give you the last word. What would you like us to know about you, what you're doing?
Oh, wow. Well, let's see. Well, first, I just wanted to shout out my amazing pianist for these recordings, Avi Randall. They are just an incredible pianist, super virtuosic, and I've had such a great working relationship with them. And so this coming year, I'm planning on releasing an album, which will kind of be in conjunction with my senior recital that I'll be putting on at NEC. That is the plan. I'm currently taking lessons with Ted Reichman. He's an accordionist and also a producer. And I've been kind of thinking just a lot more about recording and producing. So I'm quite excited to get into that. But yeah, I just want to say that it's been so great to be here. And I am very, very pleased that you were able to have me on your show. Thank you so much.
My interview with Zion Dyson. We heard excerpts of two of her compositions, Dead or Alive, and what we're hearing now, Losing Him. For more information on Zion Dyson, you can find her on Instagram.
And wondering why you never you grip his right hand. And as he drives and cry together one last time.
And now for some music.
Since you went away, the days go long, and soon I'll hear all the winter song. But I miss you most of all, my darling.
keep marching, keep your knees up. You gotta keep marching, keep your knees up. Walking all around, keeping it all together. Keep moving, gotta keep moving on. Don't stop, don't give up. Oh, you gotta keep moving, gotta keep moving on. No, you just might feel something. Thank you.
From Chicago, Illinois-based guitarist Steve Knight's debut self-release, Persistence. That was the composition Sharp's Disposal. Justin Peterson on bass and Jeff Stitley on drums. Before that, from vocalist Kirsten Berardi's new Earshift Records release, The Light and the Dark, we heard the tune Can't Be Wrong. From the press release, the improvisation section displays the uncomfortable place of dealing with someone who is avoiding self-awareness and personal growth, and instead prefers drama in order to keep from the things that actually haunt them. From two new releases out tomorrow, Friday, October 28th, Wabanaki bassist, composer, and songwriter Molly Obasawin, from her debut release as a leader, Sweet Tooth, on Out of Your Head Records, we listen to Wawasanaitta. Written as a compositional suite for Indigenous resistance, Sweet Tooth blends Wabanaki stories and songs passed down in Obasawin's own family with tunes addressing contemporary Indigenous life. It contains field recordings of relatives at Odinak First Nation and also conveys a larger story of the Wabanaki people. And we began the set with the standard Autumn Leaves from the forthcoming release by vocalist Layla Bialy. That was Kelly Jefferson on soprano saxophone, George Kohler on bass, and Larnell Lewis on drums. The full album will be launched in May of 2023 on Empress Records. You're listening to Situation Fluxus on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears in upstate New York. I'm your host, Cheryl Kay. Please send your comments, quips, and anecdotes, as well as feedback to thejazzdisturbance at gmail.com. For more information about the show, jazzfluxus.com. Interview is with pianist, keyboardist, and composer Ted Kujan. His latest Summit release, Hubbub, is out now.
So, Ted, I want to thank you for joining me here on Situation Fluxus.
Glad to be here.
You say that now.
Yes, I do.
This is your fifth release on Summit Records. How has the label done right by you since you started with them?
Actually, it's my first release was independent. I released it myself. So this is my fourth release on Summit, but my fifth release altogether. And Summit's been great. They've helped support the music. They've let me do, you know, whatever I want for my music and for my artwork. And they've, you know, done all the distribution and the manufacturing and all that, and generally supported all the releases.
Hubbub is similar to your last three releases. It has a whimsical title. It's very upbeat and it's just good listening. With your interpretations of tunes like Spider-Man, Sanford and Son, and Top Cat, are you insinuating that jazz does not have a sense of humor?
No, I'm not. Jazz absolutely has a sense of humor, but I definitely take all those songs seriously also. I mean, they're all a serious part of my past, and you know, I've known those songs forever. Obviously, they're you know, from the 60s, 70s, and I think the humor that comes out in the music is part of it is in the songs, and also stuff that I just can't help that comes out in my arranging and writing.
What's the reaction that you see from audience members when you start playing these familiar show tunes and pop tunes?
Right. They've loved it. I've always gotten a great response. I'm really pleased with it. Not everybody, but people of the right age recognize the songs and remember them. And they might hear a little snippet of something and ask me, what was that that you played? So it's great.
Yeah. Where Hubbub is different from your last three releases is the addition of a vocalist on your composition, Hymn for Her, co-written with Judy Barnett, and strings and percussion. What's the story behind this?
Well, I actually, on my last release, there was also one vocal tune on Clowns Will Be Arriving. There was a Christmas song that I also co-wrote with a lyricist. Both of these songs, I wrote the music and then the lyricist put lyrics to them. And I just, in both cases, I really liked the songs and I wanted them to be represented. And so I decided to put them on the albums. And the singers, there are two different singers on the two different albums, but on this last one, on Hymn for Her, is a great singer, a great friend of mine, Jim Mola, who's also a great drummer. And I thought he really did justice to the song. I think he did a great performance.
Yeah, I agree. Your last release under your name was 2015's Clowns Will Be Arriving.
Right.
What projects have you been involved in since then?
A lot of different things. I've been a member of the Ed Palermo Big Band since 1994. So that's all. And we do, we put out a lot of albums and we do a lot of concerts. And that's a big responsibility because I'm in that band, I'm playing keyboards and samples, and I'm doing all organ stuff, electric piano stuff, timpani, percussion, xylophone, all strings, all kinds of stuff. And I have to program every concert we're going to do. I program the sounds into my computer so that they'll all come up at the right time. So that's one project. And I'm freelance in New York, so I play with a lot of different groups. I also have a steady piano job that I play in the evenings, and I've been pretty busy.
Yeah, I'll say. You're performing at the Falcon in Marlboro, New York on Saturday, October 29th. Your quintet is the opening performance for the Ed Palermo Big Band,
right,
which you've already said you'll be playing in.
Right.
Does that mean you'll be getting paid twice?
Well, I don't know about that.
You don't have to answer that.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure how that's going to work out, actually. But these are really labors of love. These both my band and the Ed Palermo band. I would do them if I wasn't getting paid. It's just so much fun to play with these bands. So.
Listeners expect on October 29th with your quintet? What are you going to be playing?
We're playing 8 of the 11 tracks on the CD. We're playing partly because we're limited in time, and partly because a couple of those tunes that are on the CD, I used some electronics and did some overdubs, and so those wouldn't be as easy to play live. But we're playing all the swinging stuff on the album, and it's going to be great. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And who are the other members in the quintet?
The other members are all the five guys, well, myself included, that are on the album, and they're John Bailey on trumpet, Jeff Lederer on saxophone, Dick Sarpala on the bass, and Greg Joseph on the drums, and myself on piano.
Yeah. We see a lot of Mr. Lederer on your releases.
Yeah, he's been on all five of my albums. I just love the way he plays, and what he brings to my music it's perfect. He's great.
Ted, you perform in jazz, pop, rock, and R&B settings. You play in pit bands for Broadway shows. You play solo piano at spots in New York City, and you've participated in jazz festivals around the globe. Is there a groove that you've settled into now? Where and what do you want to play?
Wow. That's a good question. I would say I I am not traveling as much as I was, as I used to, and doing tours with these other acts. And I'm pretty happy home with my wife and dog, and playing my solo piano job, and then occasionally going out of town, but mostly doing the gigs in town, that you know, my solo piano gig, and doing the gigs with the Palermo Big Band, and you know, other things that come up. I've got a couple things that in a couple weeks. I'm at Birdland with a singer, and something at Pangea with a singer also. Yeah, I'd say I've settled into a kind of a homebody thing. I mean, still a little bit of travel, but mostly sticking around home.
So, Ted, as we come to the end of this interview, I want to give you the last word. If there's a question I have not asked of you, please go with it.
I can't think of anything. I hope that people come out to hear us on Friday, or on Saturday, I should say, the 27th?
29th.
Oh, I'm sorry, the 29th. Saturday the 29th. That, yes. And, you know, it's going to be a great show. We're going to have a lot of fun. And I thank all the listeners who've heard the music and appreciated it. And that's about it.
See, did I not say this was going to be fun?
Yes.
Was I right?
You were right. It was very fun.
My interview with pianist, keyboardist, and composer Ted Kushin, with music by Ted from his latest Summit release, Hubbub. For more information, kushmania.com.
Now, I don't know your wife's name, but I know your dog's name. It's Sparkplug.
Yes, it is.
How old is Sparkplug?
Well, she'll be 12 next month. She'll be 12 in November, and she's starting to show a little signs of aging, but she still acts like a puppy, wants to play all the time, and she's a great dog.
Does she realize that a song has been named after her?
I think so. Actually, I'm not sure, but...
Well, when have you asked her?
No, that's a good idea. I'll have to talk to her about it.
Thank you for tuning in to Situation Fluxus, produced for and airing on WGXC, 90.7 FM, a listener-supported radio for open ears in upstate New York. I've been your host, Cheryl Kay. Tune in next Thursday at 10 a.m. for another show. I also host the Jazz Disturbance on the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 5th Sunday of each month from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on WGXC, WGXC.org. For more information about Situation Fluxus, thejazzdisturbance@gmail.com or jazzfluxus.com. Thank you.
preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.